Violent demonstrations in Kazakhstan, sparked by rising fuel prices in an oil-rich nation. Protesters now call for leadership change. Russia responds to the president's plea for help and sends troops. So what more is behind the unrest in this former Soviet republic? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Kim Vanell. A Russian-led alliance has deployed troops as peacekeepers to Kazakhstan after the president asked for help to quell mass demonstrations across the country. They began on January 1st after the government announced a sharp increase in fuel prices. Indignation and violence followed. In an effort to calm the unrest, the government resigned. The president then declared a two-week nationwide state of emergency and a shutdown of the internet. But still, the protests escalated into calls for a change in leadership. Demonstrators say they've run out of patience, while President Kasym Jomart Tokayev is blaming the unrest on foreign actors.
Dear journalists and bloggers, many versions of what's happened here have been told. You have to understand what's happened here. The coiled spring's now been unleashed after 30 years. Look, all of us have been fired upon. All of us went through these things, but none of us wants to kill or put pressure on another person. Please, come here and see it with your own eyes. We show you the face of a new country, and you should witness it. We, Kazakh people, have patience, so stop it. We're sick of this. Look, soldiers are advancing here. Let them see it all. Stay with us, and let us see where it goes.
The terrorist mobs are essentially international. They underwent serious training abroad, and their attacks on Kazakhstan can be and should be viewed as an act of aggression. For this reason, relying on the Collective Security Treaty, I reached out to the heads of the Collective Security Treaty Organization states to assist Kazakhstan in overcoming this terrorist threat. In reality, it is no longer a threat. It is undermining the state's integrity, and most importantly, it is an attack on our citizens who are asking me, as the head of the state, to help them immediately.
Russia's foreign ministry said it was closely monitoring the situation, saying in a statement, "We advocate the peaceful resolution of all problems within the constitutional and legal framework and dialogue, rather than through street riots and the violation of laws." Adding that it was the aim of Kazakh President Kasym Jomart Tokayev to stabilize the situation and resolve existing problems quickly, including those contained in the legitimate demands of the protesters. Speaking on behalf of the UN Secretary General, Stefan Dujarric urged restraint.
Following with concern and monitoring the situation in Kazakhstan, I think it's very important for all involved in these current events to exercise restraint, refrain from violence, and promote dialogue in addressing all of the pertinent issues.
And further reaction came from the White House, which denied any involvement in the protests.
We're monitoring reports of protests in Kazakhstan. We support calls for calm, for protesters to express themselves peacefully, and for authorities to exercise restraint. There are some crazy Russian claims about the U.S. being behind this, so let me just use this opportunity to convey that as absolutely false and clearly a part of the standard Russian disinformation playbook we've seen a lot of in past years.
Well, Kazakhstan is an oil-rich country in Central Asia. It's the size of Western Europe, with an ethnically diverse population of 18 million people. It gained independence from the Soviet Union in 1991, but it's remained a close ally of Russia, which borders it to the north. Kazakhstan is also a crucial transport hub for Chinese products heading to Europe from the east. And it's kept a delicate balance between its neighbors and the West, especially the United States, which it sees both as a potential source for trade and investment and as a partner to balance the influence of Russia and China in Central Asia. Let's now bring in our guests from Prague. We have Bruce Pannier, veteran journalist and correspondent at Radio Free Europe, specializing in Central Asia. From Belgrade, we have Viktor Olevich, who is the lead expert at the Center for Actual Politics. And on the line from Almaty, Kazakhstan's largest city, we have Asiya Turisova, who is a political activist, A very warm welcome to the program to you all. Now, the reason that she is on the phone line is because the internet has been cut. So it makes, you know, doing a Zoom very difficult, as well as getting information out very difficult. I'd like to come to you first, Asiya. Just tell us, what's the latest there on the ground in terms of these protests and in terms of the reaction to them?
Well, we are currently on a lockdown. We are advised to stay home, and because it's not safe to be on the streets due to a so-called anti-terrorist operation that is in progress.
What do you make of these assertions, Asiya, that from the president that these protests are coming from foreign actors, terrorists who are causing this unrest?
You see, everything is so unclear now, but there are definitely forces who use the protest in their own interest, which is not sure. And we're all cut off from each other, and we have no reliable information to judge, to have like a complete understanding of the situation, of the current situation.
Okay. Are there protesters who are from Kazakhstan? Are they among the people, the many thousands of people we're looking at right now who are out on the streets?
They're just, you know, it's some people are just people, simple protesters who like came to, I mean, angry people who have been at, it's just you know, it's a mix. Right now it's hard to tell who are on the streets. I mean, the protest started as a peaceful protest, like 2 days it was a peaceful march on the streets from it started somewhere in the west of the city, and then the people peacefully marched towards the city hall. Mm-hmm. And but they were faced with tear gas, and apparently it caused it turned like a peaceful march or into
violence, which is what we're looking at, the pictures we're looking at right now. Okay, I want to cross over to Bruce Panier, who is in Prague. Explain to our viewers how the country has gotten to this point. Why are we seeing these protests now?
You know, I mean, it started out, of course, with the protest in the far west of Kazakhstan over the hike in the price of fuel that was doubled. It was just it involved a few dozen people in an oil workers' town called Janos. And now, you know, with the real point, watershed moment, I think, for this is probably March 2019 when they changed presidents. The first president, Nursultan Nazarbayev, stepped down from power after 28 years as the country's leader. And he handed over power to his own chosen successor, Kasym Jomart Akayev. At that point, I think a lot of people figured that this was going to be a moment when Kazakhstan took a turn to a different direction a little bit, you know, that some reform, long overdue reforms would be implemented, standard of living would start to improve more. You know, really none of that's happened since that. I mean, some changes, but not much. That's why it's interesting that, you know, these protests, when they started and as they gathered steam, the demands that people were making were really the demands that we've been hearing for a couple of years now. They wanted more of a greater role in the political system, in picking their own leaders. And that this was specifically something that people pointed out. When they would send local officials to talk to the protesters, they would say, "We didn't have a chance to elect you. You're not elected officials, and we don't recognize you." This is not new. It's something that's been more repeated in the last few days, but it's not a new complaint at all. You know, and as far as like, you know, increase in wages because inflation is going up, of course. These things are all common demands that they've been making for a long time, which is why it's strange that they decided to do this foreign influence, because the complaints are absolutely domestic and they've been there.
Mm. Well, that was my next question before we move on. Bruce Panier, was then the spread of these protests from this one region to the rest of the country, was that a surprise at all? And what should we make of the president's response so far?
Well, yes, it was. I mean, I got to admit, it was a surprise. There have been a lot of strikes and a lot of protests in Western Kazakhstan, certainly last year. So the fact that it went all the way from the west to the east and really was in every major town and city in Kazakhstan was definitely a shock how fast it went. The authorities did try to make some concessions, but this was an old tactic for them of giving something to the protesters. And as I said, some of this unrest has been simmering for a couple of years. I think it just needed, something to spark it. And that's really what we've seen in the last 4 days.
All right. We'll cross over now to Belgrade, where we have Viktor Olivich. How is the Russian President Vladimir Putin likely to be viewing these developments?
Well, this tyranny of events in Kazakhstan has been a surprise and sort of an unexpected. It's an unexpected turn of events for Moscow, and it comes at a sensitive time when Moscow is preparing for negotiations with the United States and with NATO on security guarantees in Europe and on Ukraine. It's hardly going to make Russia's negotiating position stronger. In fact, if Russia's involvement in Kazakhstan through the Collective Security Treaty Organization, if it goes sour, this will negatively impact, this will weaken Russia's position in the upcoming negotiations. So this is definitely not something Moscow was looking for. Especially at this time or at any time. Kazakhstan is an important ally for Moscow. It is the largest state in Central Asia. It is the both territorially and economically, it is the second largest country in the Eurasian Economic Union, where Russia dominates. And so for Russia, it is very important to keep Kazakhstan both a member of the Eurasian Economic Union and a member of the Collective Security Treaty Organization. So when Russia saw that the situation in Kazakhstan was getting out of control and it was happening quite fast, and when Russia deemed that the Kazakh leadership was unable to deal with the situation, calm the situation on its own, and when the president of Kazakhstan, Tokayev, essentially issued a call for the Collective Security Treaty Organization to intervene, Russia, Belarus, Armenia, and several other states agreed to do so. Now, there are several other important points as to what's going on in Kazakhstan that have still not been made. Of course, the trigger for the current situation was the, as Bruce correctly pointed out, was the severe increase in gas prices. However, the president of Kazakhstan, Tokayev, has essentially used these protests, been able to use this crisis, to sideline and essentially remove the former president of Kazakhstan, Nursultan Nazarbayev, who still had an important position in Kazakhstan as the head of the nation's Security Council and so-called Yelbasy, sort of father of the nation, who ruled Kazakhstan for several decades. He has been able to remove him from Kazakhstan's political sphere.
But wasn't a lot of the anger, or at least some of the anger from the protesters, directed at the former president?
Exactly. And it is very interesting that anger has been effectively channeled by the current president of Kazakhstan, by Tokayev, to both remove Nazarbayev from the political landscape of Kazakhstan and also remove Nazarbayev's colleagues, those who were his loyalists, from the government. Mm-hmm. So essentially, on the third day of protests, Tokayev announced the resignation of Nazarbayev's close ally, Askar Mamin, who was the prime minister of Kazakhstan, and put his own ally in his place, in Mamin's place.
Okay.
Yesterday, Tokayev removed the head of the National Security Committee, who was also Nazarbayev's ally. So this is a transformation of Kazakhstan in a political way also. And Tokayev at first was interested in a way used these protests directed against Nazarbayev in his own favor. But at this point, some of the protests got out of hand, and Tokayev needs assistance from abroad, as okay. he states.
We will come back to you in a moment. I want to go back down the line to Asiya Turisova, who I believe we still have on the phone from Almaty. If you can hear me, Asiya, I just want to ask you some of the reasons why people have been so angry in terms of the cost of living. I mean, it's interesting that these protests started, you know, in an area which was experiencing a boom, an energy boom, and yet those same people are struggling with the rising cost of fuel. So just talk me through some of those reasons why people have been taking to the streets.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think the protest accumulated over the years, because for the past years and even decades, people have made countless attempts to have a peaceful dialogue with the government. And they protested for fair pay, protection of land, fair elections, better living conditions. But I think none of their demands have ever been addressed. And over the years, all the attempts were brutally suppressed, and with many participants killed or put to jail or named terrorists. And I think what is happening, Did I answer your question?
You did. You did answer my question. It's accumulated over time. I'd like to cross over to Prague, Bruce Pannier. I was interested to see that a spokesperson for the Russian president said that no foreign forces should interfere in Kazakhstan's affairs. What should we make of that? Is that a threat? And would the West ever respond?
That's a distraction. There's really no evidence that any foreign forces have interfered in Kazakhstan's internal affairs in the last few days or are even interested in doing that. You pointed out that the Kazakhstan's been fairly adept at balancing its foreign policy between China, Russia, and the West. No one in the West wants to see turmoil and instability in Kazakhstan any more than anyone in Russia or China would want to see that either. So this is just one of those, you know, vague illusions that create a boogeyman that you can point to for being responsible for what the problems are. And, you know, that's what even in President Tokayev's comments last night, all of a sudden he referred to, you know, terrorist bands who had received foreign training, you know, and again, there's really no evidence to suggest that anybody that's been out on the streets in Kazakhstan protesting is an agent of some foreign terrorist group or anything, it's just one of those catchphrases that the Kremlin, and not just the Kremlin, but other countries throw out there and say, well, you know, we don't want interference from outside. Well, you know, that's pretty vague, and really there's nothing to show that there's any truth to that.
Is there any eventuality, is there any turn of events that could happen in Kazakhstan that would draw the West in? You're saying that Kazakhstan has tried to play a diplomatic balancing game over the years. Is there anything that might draw the engagement of the West?
Well, I really can't see that happening, to tell you the truth. Kazakhstan's still a long ways from the West, certainly a long ways from the United States, for example. I think a lot of countries would be willing to help Kazakhstan to get through a traumatic time, help them sort out any turmoil that's in there. But, you know, you can't imagine a Western intervention, really, in any country in Central Asia, but certainly in Kazakhstan. It would be impossible logistically. It would be practically impossible. How would you bring any forces or any major the amount of people or personnel into Kazakhstan? You have to go through China or Russia, and if you don't go through China or Russia, then you have a long route to get in there. So it's really, I think there's been an understanding for a long time between the West and Kazakhstan that the West is only able to help Kazakhstan so much, and both sides appreciate that. Certainly everyone in the West wants to see a strong, sovereign, independent Kazakhstan that's able to stand on its own two feet and keep the same kind of relations, at least, that it's already maintained with the West for three decades now. So there's really no interest in destabilizing the situation in Kazakhstan. But if it was destabilized, I cannot imagine there's a lot that any Western country could do. Unless the Kazakh government really invited them in with Russian and Chinese acquiescence to that.
Viktor Olivich, over in Belgrade, let's cross over to you. We're talking there about China. How do you think China is going to be viewing these protests? I mean, the two countries share a land border, and China has been increasing its investment into Kazakhstan. How do you think it's going to be viewing what's happening there now?
Well, of course, China is also not interested in the current turmoil in Kazakhstan. As you correctly pointed out, China has been expanding its economic influence in Central Asia, including in Kazakhstan. And, of course, frequently with economic influence creeps in political influence. And the Kazakh society has been quite sensitive about increasing Chinese activity and Chinese influence in their country. So on the one hand, China is not interested in the current turmoil. On the other hand, Beijing understands that the introduction of collective security treaty organization forces, basically Russian, Belarusian forces, some Armenian, some others from Central Asia into Kazakhstan, will increase Russia's influence in Kazakhstan and possibly, potentially sideline Chinese influence perhaps a little bit in that country. However, since China is interested in stability in Kazakhstan and the region as a whole, of course, it has acquiesced to that. It's also important to note that for Russia, this peacekeeping mission carries quite a few risks. If it is important for Russian troops not to engage directly with Kazakh protesters and not to get involved in any real military action, because any such incidents could be interpreted and viewed by various opposition forces in Kazakhstan and outside the country in an anti-Russian manner. So, in fact, it's important for Moscow to tread carefully here, to show support, including with its force projection in Kazakhstan, show support to the current president of Kazakhstan, to Tokayev and his government, show support for stability, but at the same time, not to be seen by the Kazakh population as a force from the outside that came in to pacify or to wage violence against the Kazakh people. So that's very important.
Yeah, I want to pick up what you're saying there. You're saying there that it's very important how it's perceived by the Kazakh population. On that note, I want to ask Asiya Tulisova, how do you feel, Asiya, about Russian, Belarusian troops coming into Kazakhstan, they say, on a peacekeeping mission?
I think it's wrong. And I do believe that we and our government, we need to put all our efforts to stop violence that is taking place in Almaty and other cities in Kazakhstan, but definitely not by letting a Russian or any other foreign army carry out a so-called anti-terrorist operation against Kazakh people.
All right. We have to leave it there for time. We've come to the end of the program. Thank you very much for joining us here on Inside Story. Bruce Pannier, Viktor Olivich and Asiya Tulisova. And thank you too for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, you can go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Kim Vidal, and the whole team here in Doha, bye-bye for now.